It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. The sports analyst that covers it all brings it all every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Sometimes they go into overtime. You don't want to miss these two former college football athletes, the Who Dat and Niner Gang, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Bang Bang Niner Gang.
It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. It is Wednesday, 7 p.m., so that means you are tuned in to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we got some great stuff for you this evening. Can't wait to dive into everything that we have on board for you. We're going to start with our HBCU talk, of course. We're going to dive into NFL, college football, some interesting stuff taking place in the last week. Alabama went down. John Gruden went down. And for some of us, that's a good thing. But we're also going to get into my State Your Case segment, as well as Eric's entertainment segment as well. So with that being said, let me bring in Mr. Scott in here. How are you doing this evening, my brother?
Hey, all is well, all is well. It's homecoming season in HBU land. Specifically, it's homecoming weekend on the yard this weekend. You heard me? We out here. Homecoming. 2021, Grambling State University, exit 81. We in the house.
There you go. So with that being said, no better way to start off than with that. I heard the clapping, brother. We heard the clapping. So go ahead. With that being said, man, you said it with your chest. So go ahead. Continue with that, man, and what it means for HBCU. Go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
We do homecoming really big, K-Walt. I read something the other day, and it's so true. Somebody posted, homecoming is for the alumni. The rest of the football season home games are for the students, but homecoming is specifically for alumni. And like I said, I've done homecoming both. I've done it as a student, which is absolutely fantastic, and I've done it as an alumni, which is absolutely fantastic. And the two, you would think on a small campus that the two would overlap and there would be some, but the two really, they're really two separate events. They're like, there are some joint events like the step show, the Battle of the Bands, the talent show, stuff like that. You know, you have both alumni and students there, but you have a whole slew of events for students and you have a whole slew of events for alumni. And it just all meshes really well together. I mean, if you've never been to an HBCU homecoming, I would strongly advise that you go, put it on your bucket list. There's nothing else like it. Even for people who aren't students of either university, it's still a really, really, really good time. The best thing about it is you get to see people that you haven't seen in years. I know for me. And like I said last week, it's a lot of this. Hey, how you doing? Oh, yeah, man, yeah. I ain't seen you since blah, 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 blah. And then, like, the rest of the video go, who is that? Hey, I don't know. I have no idea who that was. I mean, there's a lot of that. I mean, a lot. But, yeah, it's a really, really good time.
Yeah, man. I'm sitting here going through my HBCU, you know, guys, you sit down, your staff, you know, sits down and, you know, go through everything with your entertainment segment. I'm sitting down. I said, okay, what do I have for HBCU this week? And I saw your post. I'm like, okay, that's a no brainer. Got to go with that, man. I got to lead off with that, man.
Usually every year I will post, you know, homecoming week, something every day throughout the week. That's something that I do. I mean, because, like, a lot of my friends on Facebook are former alum, and, you know, just that and the other. It's just, you know, a good time to reminisce. I mean, I go from time to time. I didn't go down this year because of the mandates with COVID and everything. It's going to be a little different. But from what I can see online, that's not stopping them. They still going to do their thing. But, I was down, 2018 or 19, I was the last time I was there. And it's just as wild as I can remember, because I remember after the concert, after the alumni concert, it was like Tank and I think Keith Sweat and some big name people. There was what we used to call the breakfast dance, but they had the alumni version, meaning like, you know, you out there starting at like midnight and then you leave there and immediately go to breakfast at like 6 in the morning. I was like, hey, no, nah, dog, I did this as a student. My body can't take this so much.
Right?
I gotta go to the car and get some sleep. I mean, that's what I did. I had a pass, too. I had a pass to get into everything. Because I still got connections there. So I had the full service pass. It didn't cost me anything. But I'm like, hey, man, my what did R. Kelly say? My mind's telling me no, but my body, no, my body's telling me no.
Yeah, for my body. But your body,
no.
Yeah. Okay.
My body was saying, oh, hell no. We can't do this if you don't take your behind to sleep. And so, yeah, but it's a really, really good time. And I heard, you know, other HBCUs, too, do real big, like Howard's Homecoming down in D.C. That's a really popular event. I've never been to that, but I was just really celebrating this week because it's homecoming, you know, on the yard. And for you non-listeners that don't know, the yard, that's Grambling State University, you know, it's a place for everybody and somebody.
Exactly. Yeah, for some of our new listeners. If we have, you know, a couple of them or out there, the yard doesn't mean, you know, prison or anything like that. So it's a good thing. So, so yeah, good stuff, man. And I'm so happy you brought in the show the way you did. I knew it. I knew you wouldn't disappoint. I knew you wouldn't disappoint, man. You came in. We heard the hand clapping and everything, man. You brought it in with your chest, as Kevin Hart would say.
It's just such a fantastic time. I mean, like, I've been out of school. I graduated college in 1994. And so you know how long that's been. But when you bring up homecoming, I feel like it was just last week. I mean, I feel like I was there, you know.
Yeah.
It takes you back. I mean, it really, really does. And then towards the end of my school, like from sophomore year on, I was like on the radio. And so a lot of people knew me that, you know, people who I didn't necessarily know them, because I used to host different events. Like I've hosted the talent show. We've done remotes from various locations. I mean, so I was deeply, deeply involved. And so, I mean, like I said, it just takes me back to a better time.
Yeah, for sure, man. Why I went, and let me ask you this, E. Now, is homecoming it's not the same time as for every HBCU. Obviously it can't be, but you know, for the most part, I mean, good.
It usually ranges from about the second week in October till about the second weekend in November. Because we call it homecoming seasons. Because it's like, for example, here in Florida, Bethune-Cookman, their homecoming was last weekend. Fam's homecoming is at the end of the month because they actually play us for homecoming. Fam does. That's up in Tallahassee. That's about 4 or 5 hours from me. I'm trying to look into going to that. But, yeah, it's just like a whole season. So it's not – everything is not on one weekend. But this is just – this because I was rotating. Like I said, this was about the first or second weekend in October till about the first or second weekend in November. Various schools have various events. But, we're this weekend coming up. And like I said, I know Bethune was last weekend, and Fam is at the end of the month.
Yeah, you kind of answered my next question. Well, actually, you touched on my next question, is that have you been to any other homecomings? And outside of Grambling State, what other homecoming that you went to that you say, wow, this is, you know, off the chain, off the hook, or wow, that they really did their thing? Well, what say you?
I've only really been to other homecomings as to the game. Like, I haven't really participated in any of the other events on other campuses, but I've been to some games because we used to broadcast back when I was a student. So if someone put us on the schedule for homecoming, I was, you know, on their campus for that weekend. But as you know, broadcasting duties are tremendous. And you know, that you don't really get to participate like you would at home.
Yeah, man. Yeah, great stuff. Now, let me ask you this, because I know you know a lot of other HBCU alum, not just Grambling State, but you got your Morehouses, you got your Spellmans, things of that nature. But tell me some of the stories that you've heard, from other alums from different HBCUs. What say you about some of the stories that you've heard and their experiences with their particular homecomings?
Well, my buddy Howard, who we've had on the show before, his name is mm-hmm. Howard, but he actually went to Howard, and their homecoming, from what I can hear, is legendary. Because, like, back in the day, they used to have people like Biggie, before Biggie was really big.
Yeah.
Puffy was Howard alum. Outkast. I mean, we've had some big name people at Grambling too. Like, we've had Ice Cube, we've had Erykah Badu, because she's a lot from Grambling. I mean, we've had big names as well. But from what I hear, Howard really, really does it big, and it's like they take over the DC metro area because mm-hmm. They're in a city. Whereas, like I tell you, Grambling in the woods. The only time you find yourself in Grambling, one of two things. You're either looking for Grambling or you really, really, really lost. I mean, you lost mm-hmm. like where you say, "Hey, Siri, where am I?" And Siri say, "I don't know what to tell you." I mean, that's how lost you are. When you say, "Yeah, Alexa, where am I?" Like, "Hey, man, I don't know. We should be out somewhere we ain't supposed to be." Because Grambling is like up in the woods, but even though, like, the next city over is Ruston, which is really country, too. But, I mean, that's the city where the Walmart, the McDonald's, and all that type of stuff. And that's where Louisiana Tech is. So, yeah, we kind of take that over, too, because that's where all the hotels are. And we just take over the whole area. And I hear Howard does the same thing. But, like I said, they're in a city, and that makes it, a little more conducive to, like, it's kind of like when we do Bayou Classic, because Bayou Classic is in New Orleans, and it's always the last game of the season, Thanksgiving weekend, where we take mm-hmm. over the city of New Orleans, and that's kind of like homecoming part two.
Wow.
But it's not on campus, whereas homecoming is actually, because, like, what's today, Wednesday? Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you, K-Walk, there are people on campus tailgating right now for Saturday's game. With the RVs, the RVs probably started arriving today, because more than likely all the spaces. Well, let me preface this by saying, pre-COVID, I don't know how things mm-hmm. are with COVID, but like pre-COVID, all the slots are sold like 2-3 years out. Like can't just roll up. You can't just roll up and be like, "Yeah, I'm about to tailgate." Because, like I said, they started arriving, most of the RVs start arriving probably today. Now, if you just got a truck or a car, you may be able to get in where you fit in. But for the most part, if you're in an RV, you're there today, no later than tomorrow.
Good gracious. So that vacation time has to be put in quite early, huh? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's some good stuff, man. Seriously, man. And the more you talk about it, I didn't know about that aspect of it. I know what you normally talk about, but the whole thing with the RVs now, that takes it to another level, man. And that takes it to a totally different level, brother. I mean, like, dang. Good. I can only imagine what. Go ahead.
There's like certain areas where you tailgate. The smoke mm-hmm. so thick you can barely see your hand in front of your face. And by smoke, I mean barbecue pits from smoke.
I got you. I know what you meant. I know what you meant.
I know you're a fan of Food Network like I am, and you watch these barbecue competitions, and they have these outrageous rigs that they use to cook and stuff. You'll see some of that. Not a lot, like you see on the Food Network, but you'll see people with decked out RVs, decked out smokers. I mean, you're talking ribs, brisket, chicken. I mean, anything you want. And most of the people who's cooking it, you just stop by their area and you get a plate of food. I mean, that's just how the hospitality is.
Wow.
Because you're going to see somebody. Either one of two things. You're either going to see somebody you know, or somebody knows you is going to see you. Hey, man, I ain't seen you forever. Man, come get a plate. Because I remember when last time I was there, a really, really good friend of mine that worked on the radio with me when I was in school to Vince, he's a Sigma. He's a reverend now, too, but he's a Sigma. Mm-hmm. And so I kicked it with the Sigmas the whole time. And my son was a student on the yard at the time. And him and his little friends, they over there, they don't know nobody over there. But, I mean, that's just, hey, they with you?
Okay.
Yeah. Come on through. I mean, right. You know, it's just all the food, all the drink that you could handle. I mean, and like I said, no one's charging anybody anything. I mean, if you walk from, say, the dorm to Rob Stadium, and you mm-hmm. don't get any food, it's because you didn't want any. Because you're going to have people, hey, man, just come try this gumbo. Just come try this chicken. I'm telling you, it's good. And then the next thing you know, you're full of a dick. I needed a nap. I mean, and this is long before kickoff. Then I get into the game. And again, like I said, at the time, I still had connections on the yard. So I got free food inside the thing, too. I'm like, hey, man, I'm too full. I can't eat nothing else. But it's absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's great stuff, man. You mean I can show up there if I put this on my bucket list and I go down there, I can show up like Tupac did in Poetic Justice.
Yes.
Remember, Lil Lucky.
Yes.
I can do that. Okay, then get a plate.
Yes.
Okay,
if
cool.
You walk and you be like, damn, that smell good. Hey, man, come get you some of this. We got plenty. I mean, it's like. Like, they just, like, you know, those 6-foot folding tables just out there with the chafing dishes just full of food. Hey, man, fix and most Southern people, like, Southern hospitality is a real thing. And I think we've talked about that before.
Yes.
You walk through, some people are going to say, hey, man, go ahead and get you some food. But others, the real Southerners, going to tell their wife or their girl, hey, fix them some food. I mean, you know, and it's not in a chauvinistic type way. It's not meant to be demeaning. I mean, that's just how Southerners are. Like I was telling you, my buddy DeVince, he's married. And so I walk up. It wasn't, hey, fix you some food. It's like, hey, yo, this is my boy E. Get him some food. And I mean, and then she comes out, hey, what do you want? I said, hey, whatever you got. And they're like, okay, these ribs ready, this chicken ready. Now, this other chicken, we got it on the grill, but it'll be ready in about an hour. And then we fry some fish, and we got the potato salad. And ain't no white people, so the potato salad is good. And so, you know, we got the macaroni. We got this. I said, hey, just put it on there. And then, hey, what you drinking? I mean, open this. That cooler got this. That cooler got the sodas. That cooler got the water.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you can get some ice because we got some other stuff in the truck. If you want to get
some
water, I mean, that's just how it goes, dog.
There you go. Nice, man. That's good stuff.
You about to make me catch a flight. And go down.
Hey, you about to make me catch one. You making a brother want to roll out right now in the show early, go down there in the RV with the RVs and everything, bro.
I guarantee you they're out there now because they started arriving today because it's Wednesday. And they will be out there until the game ends. So a lot of people will leave Saturday after the game, and then the rest will leave Sunday morning. And it'll Krampus will be back to normal. But, yeah, they out there right now.
There you go. Go. And ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. You heard it from an HBCU alum, man. And you heard the passion. You heard the hand clapping. And you know he came. He brought it with his chest. He opened the show. I want to stay on the HBCU talk just a little bit because I find this to be a monster menu moment, E. I sent this to you earlier about one of the topics I wanted to talk about and get your thoughts and opinions. You know, for this particular segment, on Tuesday, the city of Detroit announced that Lewis College of Business will reopen its doors for students in December. That's the HBCU, which closed their doors in 2013 and will be reopened by former Nike and Air Jordan designer, Dr. D. Edwards. Give me your thoughts on this, Ian, and when you've heard it, you know, what say you about this, and how do you feel about it being reopened?
I'm glad. I didn't know about it until you brought it, you know, to my attention. But, yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate that they closed when they did. And, you know, I'm glad that they're opening back up. And hopefully he can bring some of that Nike money in there and, you know, keep the doors open. I mean, because, you know. A lot of times, K-Walk, and like we talked about this before, when they say there's no need for an HBCU, there really is, because
yes,
a lot of us just don't get the opportunities at a PWI that we can get in an HBCU, because at a PWI, if you're a great athlete, of course they want you. If you are a bright, bright scholar, of course they want you. But everybody doesn't fit into those categories. Because, like, in any aspect in life, you got the upper echelon and you got the bottom tier. Most of the people, the majority, are in the middle. And those people in the middle, which make up the majority, we need places to go. HBCU. Now, we can go to PWIs, but a lot of times, you know, that's just not for us. That's not, you know, what we do. So when you have a business school that's a HBCU,
Thank you.
May not have been the top of your class, but you weren't
Thank
at the
you.
Bottom, but you're looking for a place to fit in. This might be the place for you. Because when I made my decision to go to Grambling, it was high school day. I was like, 11th or 12th grade, I don't know if you remember, one or the other. But they have what's called high school day, where they bring in, it's in the fall, because you get to go to a football game, but they bring in students from all over the state. You come on campus, you get a tour of the campus, you go to various seminars, and at the end of the day, you get to go to the football game, and, you know, just get a day worth of college experience. They even call it high school day. It's the thing they still do now. When I got off the bus at high school day, I immediately knew that was the place for me. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll be back here. And then I think I was a senior, because high school day, I think, was early in the season, and we had so much fun in high school day. A buddy of mine, we were still in high school, had a car, and we only lived about 2 hours from Grambling. We went to homecoming as high school students. So I started experiencing homecoming as a high school student. And I just got to say, Kev, that's too much for a high school student. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you can go from the NBA, you can go from high school straight to the NBA, but you can't go straight from high school to the NFL, because, you know, your body's just not ready for that. Yeah, it was like I was in high school and I went straight to the NFL. Yeah, that wasn't a good idea. Now, if I had to do it all over again, oh, yeah, 6 days a week and twice on Sundays. But looking back, yeah, because I remember – I think we were up for like 24 straight hours, you know, no sleep at all, because we were in high school. We didn't have a hotel room. We didn't have anywhere to stay. And we, you know, my boy had a Datsun B210. That was the car we in. And we three big old jokers in this Datsun B210. We don't have nowhere to stay, nothing. All we know is we in high school and we getting it in. Yeah, it was a good time.
All right, good. Yeah, man, I can hear it, man. I definitely hear it, man. And ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. I'm getting word that my mic is a little choppy, so I apologize for that. I'm going to make some adjustments real quick. So what we're going to do right now is E. First and foremost, man, thank you so much with the passion of the HBCU, man. I mean, you just bring so much light to it. I know we ran over a little bit, but I have no problem with that. I don't mind, bro, because you brought it with the chest. You brought it with the love, man. So great stuff there, man. So, again, what we're going to do here is we're going to grab our first break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the NFL, and we're going to recap Monday night's game against the Ravens and the Colts. We're going to preview tomorrow night's game between the Bucks and the Eagles, and then we'll talk about my 49ers, Saints as well, amongst other teams, the Cowboys and Giants as well. So, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Again, you are listening to Sports Talk with Kate Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is Daquan J. Kelly, a.k.a. Jamel Arif, Master Killer of Wu-Tang and American Saga on Hulu. You're listening to Sports Talk with Kate Walk and E. Scott. They're taking a quick break, and they'll be right back.
Your skin isn't just skin. It's a beautiful reflection of every single thing you've been through in life. Which is why Dove Body Wash renews your skin's ceramides and strengthens it against dryness. For instantly softer, smoother skin you can lovingly embrace. Renew the love for your skin with Dove Body Wash.
You're never going out of style. Ooh, pretty baby, this world might have gone crazy. The way you save me, who could blame me when I just wanna make you smile? I wanna do you like Michael, I wanna kiss you like Prince. I did it all like Bobby, yeah, like Hathaway. Write a song for you like this. You're over my head, I'm out of my mind, thinking I was tuned in the wrong time. One of a kind, living in a world gone plastic. Baby, you're so classic. Yeah, yeah, so classic. Baby, you're so classic. Yeah, yeah. Baby, you, baby, you're so classic. 4,000 roses, anything for you to notice. All the way to serenade you, doing it's not style. I'ma pick you up in a Cadillac like
And we are back. And again, you are tuning to Sports Talk with Kay Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Before the break, ladies and gentlemen, we dove into our HBCU segment, and E did not disappoint, as always. Never disappoints, man. So great stuff there, E. So appreciate the insight, the passion that you brought in that segment. So we're going to continue to do that, guys, because I love it, man. And I'm gave some information to E that I didn't realize he didn't know about. So that makes me want to do it even more, man. Keep him on his toes like he keeps us on our toes. So great stuff there, E. So what we're going to do here is we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk to the NFL right now. And we're going to first I want to start, E, and I want to start with Monday night's game. And I want to start with Lamar Jackson and his ability to lead his team back. I don't know if you got a chance to watch that entire game, man. It went into overtime, late game. They were down 22-3 with a minute to go in the third quarter. Lamar just turned it on. He went into the phone booth and he put his Superman cape on and came back and led those guys. Give me your thoughts on the game. And what this game means for the Ravens, and more importantly, what it means for Lamar Jackson.
So I did get to watch the whole game. That's rare for me, but it was so exciting because when the late games, you know, I go to bed early. But this one was so exciting, and I have a really, really good friend of mine. She's a Baltimore Ravens fan. She's the one that told me, and we won't start talking about the Ravens, she's going to stop listening. I don't even know if she's listening now. But anyway, I did watch it in its entirety, and Lamar Jackson – I was very, very, very impressed with. But I'll tell you somebody else who I was impressed with. I can't think of his name right now, but the tight end, I think number 89.
Mark Andrews.
Yes, that's him. I was equally as impressed with him because yeah. It's kind of like Lamar went to the heart of him and like, hey, man, where you been my whole life? I mean, but you seriously. My soulmate. We getting married tomorrow. Forget these other dudes. I mean, I know I got Sammy Watkins out here. I got – Hollywood Brown.
Yep.
Do this thing. I got these ideas. Hey, man, you my soulmate. We finna do this. I know we down 25 to what was it, 25 to 9?
25-3 at the third quarter with a minute to go in the third quarter.
Yeah. Hey, I know we down. But look, if you just trust me and ride with me, we got this. And everybody else was looking at Lamar like, nah, dog, I think, you know, we better call this one. We live to fight again another week. And remember the scene when Jerry Maguire got fired and old girl jumped up and said, I'll go with you. And Jerry gave a speech and she said, you had me at hello. That was Andrews. He looked at Lamar and said, you had me at hello. Let's do this. And K-Walk, I watched them systematically work down the field and score after score. I look up, damn, we headed into overtime. How in the hell did was Indianapolis, right? Yeah. How in the hell did they let this happen? And Lamar Andrews like, they ain't letting nothing happen. We wanted it, so we took it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Justin Tucker over there talking about, hey, man, if y'all need a field goal, I'm good for about 75. And they were like, $75? They didn't know, 75 yards. If you need one, holler at your boy. I'm good for about 75. And Lamar said, hey, let's do this.
Yeah, Lamar turned into a totally different dude, man. I swear to you, he just looked, I mean, obviously he looked like a totally different quarterback. But like you stated, him and Mark Andrews, they were just on the same point. I mean, on the same page, not just the same book, but on the same page, same paragraph, same sentence, all that stuff, E. I mean,
same word.
Everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. And their chemistry just ignited that team. They saw that they, you know, they had the ability to go down there. And hats off to John Harbaugh as well for sticking with them, because like you stated, E, you know, a lot of people were counting them out. And, you know, when they were down 22-3, you know, in the third quarter with a minute to go in the third quarter, a lot of people were like, you know, the announcers were saying, okay, well, you know, got back to the drawing board. And then if it had continued that way, E, and on Tuesday morning, wow, I can only imagine what everyone would be saying about Lamar. But now Lamar went from the, you know, not just the GOAT to the hero, but he went from like, you know, let's bring in his backup to, you know, now he's a favorite to be the MVP in the league right now if the season were to start. So, you know, that's how significant and that performance was. And Lamar, he was joking, man. And I saw Lamar joke, and he made some jokes afterwards in the post-game, you know, interviews. I've never seen Lamar smile, to be honest with you. I've never seen him smile. I know maybe because of the mask. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, it was great to but you could hear the smile in his voice, man. So it was really good stuff, man. And this could catapult them, you know, to being that contender. You know, right now, in my opinion, and correct me, you know, you may beg to differ, but right now, I think the Bills have a strong hold on as being the favorites to come out of that conference, you know, the AFC conference to get to the Super Bowl. Right now, the Chiefs, and we'll talk about them in a moment, but right now the Chiefs seem like they just, there's something wrong. They can't get right there. But I think Baltimore has solidified themselves as being, you know, one of those teams that will compete for the AFC championship. What say you about, you know, about the Bills and also the Ravens? Are they now a legitimate contender to go to the Super Bowl?
Well, right now, okay, I will say it's the Bills' division to lose, and that's a bold statement as early as it is. Now, Kansas City's not playing well, but they got Mahomes, so I don't count them out. My dark horse over there, and maybe not so dark, but just for me, the Chargers, San Diego,
like
Los
that.
Angeles, or whatever you want to call them. But the other Los Angeles team, I mean, mm-hmm. the Herbert is playing really, really well. And you know, they seem to be a force to be working with over there, too. But right now, mm-hmm. I would say your front runner is the Bills. I like what the Ravens did on Monday night. I don't count the Chiefs out, and I like the Chargers. But yeah, I think back to Monday night's game real quick. I think mm-hmm. Indianapolis thought Lamar was going to come out and try to beat him with his legs. But if you notice, most of Lamar's yards as a rusher are design quarterback runs. It's not like the pocket breaks down and he just looks to take off. He goes through his reads. He is a pocket passer. They just don't give him credit for it because I guess he just really doesn't have that go-to receiver until Monday night, and it was Andrews. He was like, oh, I got a dude that's going to get open and catch it. I got a dude who's going to catch it even when he's not open. Oh, we're just going to ride him all the way to this comeback. Hollywood Brown, Sammy Watkins, I love you, but I got this dude here. If I put it up there, he going to get it. And Lamar just rolled him to victory. And that shows you that Lamar not only can he be a pocket passer? He is a pocket passer. Now, he can beat you with his legs when it breaks down, but I think he gets such a bad rap for them saying, oh, that's his first instinct is to take off, and it's really not. And I hate when they use statements like, oh, the NFL is figuring them out. You can't figure out a person. You can figure out a scheme. But to say you can figure out a person, that's some BS there. But, yeah, Lamar showed you what time it is. That's for him smiling. If you follow Lamar's career, Lamar is very petty. Lamar, remember when they said he was a running back and he came out and did a lot of passing, and then this folks came in interview, he goes, not bad for a running back. He's very petty. So then they had another game where he had on a black sleeve, I think it was, and they were like, with the brown ball against the brown sleeve, you can't see the football. So the very next game, he came out with a white sleeve on. Didn't say nothing, but the message was loud and clear. Oh, he's very petty. Him and Harbaugh both. They're extremely petty with their shadings, but I like it. Petty in a good way.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I have to say that the person who said that was a 49er announcer, man, a radio announcer. And, when I heard it, man, I at first said he's not. I didn't like him before he said it, to be honest with you. I just don't like his the way he analyzes games, the way he goes about games. But after he said that, it just really turned me off to listening to him, man. But for sure, man. I mean, Lamar is he's quieting those naysayers, man. And I've never been a naysayer of Lamar. I just thought that Greg Roman and John Harbaugh was putting him in situations that where he couldn't succeed. But Monday night, if they continue to play, I mean, I know that, I'm playing Captain Obvious here, but if they play like that, man, they can get Mark Andrews more involved in the passing game, man. It's a no-brainer because, like you mentioned, they have Sammy Watkins over there. They also have Hollywood Brown, like you mentioned, had a great game as well. But, Lamar outshined him as well as Mark Andrews as well. So if they can continue to spread the ball around, if Lamar can continue to do that and defenses can constantly, give him those options, then it's going to be something interesting. Now we're going to start to see, okay, Baltimore is that real deal now. Baltimore is that real deal. But right now, I love the performance, man. I had to talk about Lamar, man, because that dude was just outstanding on Monday night for sure, man, for sure. So with that being said, we talked about the Bills and we talked about the Chiefs. They had a game on Sunday night, and wow, I picked the Bills to win, but I didn't pick them to blow them out. The Chiefs just seem like they're a little different team. And give me your thoughts on this. Has the league figured them out? You mentioned earlier, the league can figure out a scheme, but not a player. But right now, Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs team right now, that offense is not up to par what we're used to seeing. And that defense is not helping either. What say you about the Chiefs and that Bills game as well?
Now, that one I did not see in its entirety, but I did see most of it. And I had picked the Chiefs to win. Now, as far as – I don't think they've necessarily figured out Patrick Mahomes, but I think they have, figured out some of Andy Reid's schemes. And and the rest of the league is getting better, where the Chiefs are kind of stagnant. I don't think they've gotten any better. I don't think they've gotten any worse, but I don't think they've necessarily gotten any better. And defensively, they've never been that good defensively. Even in the Super Bowl year, they weren't that good defensively. And so I think that factors in heavily too. And with different teams catching up to Andy Reid's scheme, Patrick Mahomes just doesn't look like the Patrick Mahomes that we're used to seeing. But I think a lot of that is defense, whereas, some things that he used to get away with, they've tightened up on, and he's not able to get away with those things anymore. But I do think, as a team, that Andy Reid will make adjustments because he's one hell of a play caller. And I think, he'll adjust, and they'll get better. That's why I don't count them out.
Yeah, but being 2-4 right now, or 2-3 right now, it's a tough road to hoe, if you will, especially with the Chargers, as you mentioned, are playing well, playing as well as they are right now. Don't know. It's going to be a dogfight, man. I think what's helping a lot of these teams who are kind of behind a schedule, if you will, as far as their records goes, that extra game right now, that 17th game is going to be crucial for a lot of teams, especially my 49ers, and we'll dive into them for sure. But yeah, I think that last game is going to be crucial for a lot of teams, this season. That's going to be very interesting. So with that being said, I want to talk about. Oh my God, I have to do it. As much as I dislike to do it, I have to do it. I got to talk about the Cowboys and the Giants and how good the Cowboys look, Ben, and how good the Cowboys look. And the thing about it, man, is they're not just winning, man. They're winning convincingly. Other than the Bucks game, they're not really winning convincingly because they lost the Bucks game. They could very well have lost the Chargers game as well. The Panthers game, they won by 8. You know, they did blow out. Giants on Sunday, and then there was another game they blew someone else. I forget who else they played. Eagles, I think it was the Eagles. They blew them out as well. What say you about this particular game? All the injuries, you know, this is going to be a slew of questions for you, E. First, the outcome of the game, how good the Cowboys look, and the injuries that the Giants suffered as well.
Well, let's go ahead and get this out of the way before Manny gets on because he said he's calling later. So hopefully he's not listening right now. So as far as the injuries go, I likened it to the scene in the movie Malcolm X. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told Malcolm, we're not going to speak on the assassination of President Kennedy. That was a mandate for the entire nation. Reporter asked Malcolm, what do you think about the assassination of President Kennedy? And Malcolm said, hey, it's just chickens coming home to roost. So if you go back to last year's Giants-Cowboys game, that's the game where they almost killed Dak, where they broke Dak leg in 57 places and showed no remorse for it, whatever. So fast forward a year later, Sunday's game, hey, man, it was just chickens coming home to roost. I mean, you know, karma, unlike momentum, karma is a real thing. You know, karma is a real thing. And, hey, I told Manny, what did my man say? He pulls out a knife, you pull out a gun. He sent one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Cowboy way. So that's what I got to say about the injuries. Now, as far as the Cowboys looking good, they look
fantastic.
Dak fine on all cylinders. Zeke finally playing again. You can pull Zeke out and put Pollard in, and you don't lose a step. Amari Cooper said he was the best wide receiver in football. Then he walked it back. I don't know if he need to walk it back because he putting up dividends, and CeeDee Lamb is just the real deal all the way around. And then over on the defense side of the ball, I didn't know until Monday when I was reading reports and stuff prepping for the show that Diggs is Stephon Diggs' brother. I didn't know they were brothers. And I read the story about him when he was at Alabama. He was recruited as a wide receiver. And when Nick Saban moved him to defensive back, he cried. He said he even called his brother. And his brother said, hey, man, you played DB before. You're a good enough athlete to do it. Just roll with it and see what happens. He said after the conversation with his brother, he decided to put in the work and become the best DB he could, and look where that got him. I mean, he's good. Parsons is good. Van Der Esch is good. Who the boy they cut last week? Jalen Smith, they not missing him at all. They good up front. They good at linebacker. I mean, like I said, when Manny come on, I'm going to deny saying any of this. But, they look real, real good. I mean, I would say they look better than Tampa does, but Tampa has Tom Brady. And, you know, that might not mean a lot to a lot of people, but 7 Super Bowl rings say different. So,
fact.
And going to 10, winning 7. So, they got Tom Brady. So, but other than Tampa, I'm going to say, and I don't even give Dallas the edge over Tampa. I would say wow. Dallas is the best team in the NFC, even though Tampa beat them in the first game of the season. It is what it is. But on paper, not on paper, the eye test tells me mm-hmm. that Dallas is better than Tampa.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you look at it this way, it's hard for me to say who the best team is because it changes week in and week out. That's just the nature of the beast. But you alluded to it. It's on paper, they look like the best team. You know, or you could put the Rams up there as well, but the Rams lost to the Cardinals in the fashion that they lost to them. And of course, you got Tampa Bay. So it's going to be an interesting season for sure. I know it's only the fifth season. It's a little over, just a smidget over a quarter of the season. A lot of football to be played, but the way that everything is being played out right now, Dallas is arguably the best team in the NFC right now. You know, you can put them neck to neck. You can, you know. It could be you, it could be me, it could be Manny, whoever the case may be, whatever Cowboy fan is out there, you know, they can, give their, their defense on that, their argument as far as them being the best team in that conference, man. But they are looking good, man. You know, that running game as well, man, I think that's something that's not talked about enough as well. That's kind of the scary part about it is you have Ezekiel Elliott, and then when he goes to the sideline and you bring in Tony Pollard, and Tony Pollard just hits the holes tremendously fast, man. And you mentioned that receiving core with Cooper and Lamb. And then you mentioned that defense. That's what they focused on this past offseason, Ian, in the draft with Parsons, Micah Parsons out of Penn State, Diggs. And then you got Vander Esch as well. And the list goes on and on. Even though they lost Smith, they didn't lose a beat on defense. And not to mention, they have Dan Quinn over there. And Dan Quinn is one heck of a defensive coordinator. So you got to be wary of these guys, man. And looking at their schedule, we're going to have to hear these Cowboys fans, man, for a minute. I don't want to say they got a tough one, but, they're starting to smell themselves a little bit, if you know what I mean, the way that Ezekiel Elliott caught that one pass out of the backfield, started high-stepping at, like, the 5-yard line. I think they may be feeling themselves a little bit too much, but, I think this might be they have to watch out for the New England Patriots, man, for sure, this coming Sunday. They'll probably say, it's New England. Oh, they got Mac Jones. You know, Cowboys fans, and they win a couple of games, man, and they just think that, they're going to the Super Bowl. You know how that goes. But nonetheless, man, yeah. But right now, I'll digress on that, and let's switch gears a little bit, man. And I want to talk about your Saints, man. The Saints. I'm watching that game, man. I'm able to watch every game. I have DirecTV. I have the Super Mix or the Sports Mix or what have you, and I'm able to watch all games that are being played at one time. And I'm watching this game, man. It didn't start off too well, man. I know you were posting on Facebook saying, I don't like Jameis Winston. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not saying exactly what you said. But, I don't like this guy or he came and then he came back or whatever you said. For the record, I still don't like him or whatever exactly the wording you use. But give me your thoughts on the Saints and this particular game against the Washington football team.
I can sum it up with this statement that doesn't make any sense, but it makes perfect sense. That was the most disappointing win I've ever witnessed.
No, it makes perfect sense, brother. It makes perfect sense.
I mean, because I found nothing impressive about that win. I mean, the Washington football team did everything they could to give us the game, and we still act like we didn't want it. I mean, the interception that Jameis threw was 1,000% his fault.
Oh,
he
wow.
threw it
yeah.
right to the defender. All he had to do was throw it up 2 feet higher. Then he had the one where he was about 5 yards away from the receiver for the first down and threw it behind him, and that's when Sean Payton yelled at him really bad
yeah.
when he went to the sideline. And then the Hail Mary, I give the receiver 99% of the credit on that one and 1%
yeah.
of the time. They were throwing up. The receiver was the one mm-hmm. that went up there and got it. So I was not impressed with Jameis's play at all. And then our defense is still a little lackluster. Now, we're going into a bye week this week. Hopefully
yeah.
we get Slant Boy back after the bye. And for our listeners, that would be Michael Thomas, number 13, wide receiver out of Ohio State. If y'all don't know him, look him up. But anywho, hopefully we get Slant Boy back. And I think Slant Boy and Jameis would be a good combination because Slant Boy could not run down the field and Jameis could get the ball to him. But Jameis was playing so bad.
Yeah.
I was calling for Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill goes out there and gets himself into the concussion protocol. And then now I'm stuck with Jameis because I damn sure don't want Trevor Siemian out there. We've seen his movie.
Yeah.
We've seen his movie and Jameis' movie. I'd rather watch Jameis' movie. I mean, that Trevor Siemian is awful. And the rookie, there was too much for him. He couldn't put him out there. I was very disappointed in Jameis' play. I'll take the win, but again, it's the most disappointing win as a Saints fan I've ever experienced.
Yeah, you know what? As a fan, you love to hear that. You know, it was an ugly win. Okay, you know, you like those as much as you want it to be more attractive, but it's not. But it's a win nonetheless, and that's what you look for. You know, and then what you do is you put a spin on it, which I like to do is just you would think that okay, if we put a play this bad. And we win. Okay, just imagine if we play a lot better, you know, then, you know, what would it look like? Because you don't expect to play this bad every single week, you know, and you hope to play as good as you possibly can every week. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know where you were at. I was going to text you. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to text E because I don't like when people text me or call me when my team is playing or they're doing bad. So I'm not going to be a hypocrite and do the same thing. So I'm not going to do it. So I was just waiting. I was just watching it, E, and I was watching it. It was in the right corner of the screen of the TV that I was watching. And I'm like, so I didn't want to put the audio on either because I could switch the audio from different games. I was like, I'm just going to just let this play out because I don't think the Saints are going to lose this game. This is how the game is going right now, but I think they'll get it right. So that's why I didn't reach out to you. I'm not that type of guy, man. I'm not that type of guy kick you when you're down, if you will.
Good. I feel you. I was at this spot called Walk-Ons. It's I remember
that looks
Orlando.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm a member of the Orlando Saints fan club, and that's the headquarters. I don't go there every Sunday. Some Sundays I go to the spot. I know you've heard us talk about the Ale House. Because shipping the boys, because like what they do at Walk-Ons, they got a whole section reserved for us, and they only show Saints games in our section. Now, there are TVs where you can see the other games,
right.
But I sit in the Saints section, and so shipping the boys don't like to go over there. So every now and then, we do go to the Ale House, because that way you can see all the games and, like, whatever. But, I was at Walk-Ons. And it was probably about 30 of us in our section, and we pretty much just take over the whole restaurant. Now, it's a sad day when we're losing up in that piece because everybody who's not Saints fans got something to say. We were winning Sunday, and we went outside. They take a group picture every week, and I just decided to go ahead and post it this week.
That was dope, man. That was dope.
Yeah. It was a good time, but like I said, I'm sitting there. I'm cussing Jameis out six ways from Sunday, and, you know, because I just couldn't believe how bad he was playing.
Yeah.
And for us to still win it, and I think Jameis leads the league in touchdown passes, I think. He's caught the top. I'm like, but it just –
Yeah, I think
he
is.
The eye test just tells you something different. But hey, like you said, a win is a win. We'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
And we need this bye week to get some people healthy.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. My Niners are on a bye week as well. But yeah, that was a dope picture, man. I like that. I love the name of the of the bar as well, man, of the franchise as well. I don't know if it's a franchise, but established.
Yeah, it is. The original one is in Baton Rouge, right down the street from LSU's campus.
Okay.
It was started by two guys that went to LSU, and Drew Brees is a major investor in it. He's like a co-owner, not a founder, but like a co-owner. But yeah, they're all over Louisiana. There's some in Texas, and I know there's, you know, three or four here in the state of Florida. I don't know where else they are, but I know for sure they're in Louisiana, Texas, and Florida.
Yeah, man, dope name, by the way, dope name. So that, yeah, that, I love, when I saw you post that, I was like, oh, that's what's up. But yeah, good stuff there, man. Yeah, and you know, you got a bye week. We got a bye week this week, me and the 49ers. So let's transition over to them, man. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that game. You know, with the 49ers and the Cardinals, man. And Trey Lance got his first start. You know, as a quarterback there. He started off kind of good, man. I mean, I give him his grade. I'll give my thoughts, and I'll turn it over to you, E. But I thought he did well. I just thought Kyle Shanahan called a horrible play, horrible game, as far as you know, play from a play calling standpoint. Still had a chance to win that game, E. You know, late there, but they just weren't able to capitalize. I felt like, in my opinion, I just felt like Kyle Shanahan should have just called the same type of offense that he called with Jimmy Garoppolo. When you're constantly running the ball, you have misdirection here, misdirection there, get the ball to Debo. I know they were without George Kittle, no excuse there, because I still think they could have won that game without him. But they constantly ran him, man, and he ate the ball 18 times, man. I mean, that one play, I know you saw it on highlights if you didn't see it live, you know, the one at the goal line where, you know, it looked like his neck could have got broken. You know, so many different types of hits, man, that he was taking. Right now, they're saying he has a knee sprain right now. So with all that being said, E, I just thought that Kyle Shanahan should have done a better job of calling the game, putting him in a situation where he could succeed. I just thought that he was just put him on a suicide mission. That's what I felt like. But overall, you know, hats off to the Cardinals. They still look, they're a good team, man. But I think that the 49ers kind of exploited them a little bit as far as what you can do with them as far as to beat them. And Kyler Murray came out that game kind of hobbled as well. What say you about this game, 49ers, and the performance of Trey Lance?
Well, I'll start here. With that game, K1 is about to make me a believer. And I was trying hard not to believe in K1. And the reason being, he a little dude. K1, I just, because I'm over 6 feet, I don't respect little dudes. I never have. I mean, he just, there's no reason you should be 5'7 to be a grown man. I know it's not your fault, but you should. I know a ship listener, he going to take offense to that because ship a little dude. But yeah, I don't know. But K1 is making a believer out of me. He do some spectacular things on the little fella back there. Now, going forward to your game, in relation to Kyle Shanahan, I think Kyle Shanahan out-coaches himself sometimes.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, he's one of the best play callers in the game. Him, Sean Payton, Andy Reid. That's all your top three play callers. But you can tell with the way Shanahan calls the game. If you're not Shanahan's guy, he doesn't allow you to throw the ball a lot. He just doesn't. And that's how he treats Jimmy G. But it seems like Trey Lance is his guy. He moved up to get him. Didn't y'all move up to get him?
Yeah, we moved up. Yeah, we moved up from 12 to 3. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you moved up to get him. So he's Shanahan's guy. Now, I don't know. Maybe he hadn't shown Shanahan in practice what Shanahan needs to see, or I don't know what the deal is. But it's like you said, I think you win that game if he calls a better offense for him. Now, maybe he think he's limited, or I don't know, maybe he's gun-shy, maybe it's because he's a rookie. I don't know what it is. But I think there's a such thing as being too conservative. Sometimes, K-Walk, you just got to open up the door and see what happens.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
And I don't feel that he did that on Sunday for Trey Lance. And then he put him in a bad situation where, like you said, he almost got every bone in his body broke down there on the goal line. Yeah, you can't set him up for failure like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you got Jimmy G hurt. If Trey Lance can't go, I mean, who else y'all got over there?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have Suffield, but I mean, I don't know. That's like saying I don't know.
Exactly. I never even heard of him. I have no idea who that is. But,
exactly.
So, yeah, I just think I think he needs to be more trusting is what it is. I think because Kyle Shanahan, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Kyle Shanahan a former quarterback?
No, he's a former wide receiver.
wide receiver. Okay, yeah, because Chris Sims was the quarterback. Yeah, because they took that bro stuff too far, getting each other tattooed on their body. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, I've known my best friend in the world, Jeff, since we were 5 years old. We go back like Cadillac Sleep. I ain't finna get Jeff's face tattooed on my body. I'm not even finna get Jeff's name tattooed on my body. And I love him like a brother. I mean, like, we close as two people could be. Well, I ain't finna get the N-word name tattooed on my body, nor his picture. Anywho, I digress. That's Shanahan and Chris Sims. But anyway, I think Shanahan needs to learn to be more trusting. Yeah. It seems to me like it's just a trust issue. He don't trust Jimmy G. He don't trust
Trey Lance.
Maybe he needs Chris Sims to come out of retirement and be his quarterback. Maybe he'll trust him. I mean, if you got the dude face on your leg, you trust him a whole lot.
Yeah, man. That was my thing, and my wife can attest to this, man. I'm sitting here, we're sitting here watching this game, and I'm just going crazy. I'm like, what are you calling, Kyle? What are you calling? You know, some of the plays that he did call were good, but Trey Lance didn't feel comfortable. Like the first interception, or the only interception he threw, you know, he stepped in. I thought he could either check down or take off with the ball, and he had options there, but he did have the guy open that he threw to, but he just overthrew him. You know, the play that, oh, my God, scared the mess out of me, man, was, you know, the goal line play where, you know, I thought he was going to get in. I was like, all right, well, if you're going to get down, if you're going to take off, get in. And it scared me, man. And he's got his mother and his father watching the game, and they're showing them after every play. But, yeah, overall, man, I thought he did well, man, for a first-time guy, man. And I was comparing his numbers to a lot of, former 49ers who Joe Montana, Steve Young, Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick had a different type of, first game performance. I don't think he could have got anywhere close to Colin Kaepernick's first career starts numbers. But nonetheless, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, get a silver lining, you know, look at the silver lining of this aspect of it. And I think overall I gave him a B-, man. I just gave Kyle Shanahan's play calling a D, man. But you know, unless you're grading on the curve, man, it doesn't look good right now. But let's see how they adjust. You know, coming off of this bye week, because they also have a bye week as well, man. So let's see how that goes. What we're going to do here is we're going to grab our next break. And when we come back, I want to touch a little bit on tomorrow night's game. And then we got to dive into the elephant in the room, man. We got to talk about John Gruden, man. And time permitting, if we have time permitting, but we'll talk about some Kyrie Irving talk. You know, he's not playing until he's vaccinated. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about, again, time permitting. But again, ladies and gentlemen, you are in Tuned In Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott. Right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
You're inside Never Had It So Good Sports Radio with Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports.
CampLyman.com is an opportunity for my big boys to come get some work. Let's put it all together. But we built from the ground up. You know, our cliche is it all starts up front. Once again, start, stance, hand placement, hand separation, get-offs, counter moves, a little bit of everything. Polish up those skills before your middle school or high school season began. Just come work on your craft. Once again, CampLyman.com.
I don't want nobody else. You never felt in a winter.
And we are back. And again, you are tuned in to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Before the break, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking NFL, talking Saints and Washington football team, 49ers Cardinals as well. E, you know, got a little bit of time here, just a couple of minutes here. I'm going to start with this because I think this has to be addressed. And I want to start with this before you know, we lose the time that that we have right now, but I gotta talk John Gruden. Let's bring this guy up, man. And it's just the elephant in the sports room, if you will. Give me your thoughts on this, E. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this show, I know you heard about John Gruden and his remarks. He resigned, you know, due to the comments that he made racial comments, you know, homophobic comments and malicious comments as well about females and females reffing, things of that nature. Hey, give me your thoughts on this whole situation. And do you think that he got off easy? Should he have been fired, or are you okay with him resigning? What say you?
Okay, here's my thing. Let's start here first. First of all, okay, well, it wasn't resigning. Here's what happened. He came into a room, and Mark Davis said, hey, this can go one of two ways. You can either resign or you fire. And the choice is yours. Either way, you got to leave here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, secondly, my take is going to probably be a little different than you expect, but let me clarify first, and in no way is this any support of John Gruden, because what I think he said was horrific, horrible, and there should be consequences and repercussions. That's first and foremost. But now I will say this. I don't think it was right that he lost his job. And I'm not saying that as in John Gruden shouldn't have lost his job. I'm saying any person in this particular situation shouldn't have lost their job. Meaning,
okay,
this was in 2011. He don't work over there anymore where he did this. Now, if he was still an ESPN employee, he should have been fired expeditiously. If he would have did this while he was with the Raiders, he should have been fired expeditiously. But here's the thing. He did this where he was working somewhere else. So for all intents and purposes, he got away with it. I mean, it's not like it was criminal or anything. So I don't think the Raiders should be able to put sanctions on him for something he did at another job. And again, that's in no way supportive of John Gruden. I'm saying anybody in the situation, like my current job now, well, you know my boss, Chris, and I was telling him, Chris, I don't think he should be able to call me now. Like when I go to work, I'm in the office on Mondays and Tuesdays. So next Monday when I go in the office, I don't think Chris should be able to call me in the office and be like, hey, some stuff that came up from 10 years ago that you did when you worked at job X. I mean, know, they ain't what we stand for over here, so we're going to have to let you go. I'm like, what? I wasn't working here when I did that. Yeah, it was wrong. Yeah, it was immoral. No, y'all don't stand for it here. I ain't do it here. I've been a model employee since I've been here. So I don't think I should be fired. But now, that's just one take on it. Another flip side, a way of looking at this is, okay, so he's being fired because we got documented proof of what he said. This happened back in 2011. Anyone that knows John Gruden without the documentation knew he was this type of dude. So what are we really punishing him for? Are we punishing him for putting it on paper, if you will, because the feelings were already there. Let's just say he hadn't sent these emails, but he still believes the same stuff that he said. The people closest to him know that about him already. You know what I'm saying? So I think, you know, at this particular point, the Raiders, I'm not saying they're wrong for firing him. Please don't make that mistake. I'm just saying I don't think they should have. But the Raiders have pretty much just said, okay, well, now that there's concrete proof, we're going to have to let you go. No, y'all have known all the while who this dude was. There's no way you don't. I'm not saying everybody in the organization knew, but Mark Davis knew. You hired him. I mean, if you vetted him like they vet players, which I'm quite sure they do, you knew the type of dude you were hiring. You didn't know about these emails, and you didn't know it was going to come to light, but you knew who you had in the office up there. Because like this was back in 2011, K-Walk. He hadn't changed. He hadn't turned over a new leaf. He ain't stopped being that dude from 2011. He was always that dude, and you always knew it. So had these emails not come out, you wouldn't have got rid of him, even though you knew the truth about him. And again, this is in no support of John Gruden, and this is in no support of what he did. I'm just saying, I don't think you should lose your current job for something you did on the job 9-10 years ago, no matter how reprehensible it was, unless it was criminal or something to that nature. But again, that's just my opinion. But am I sad he lost his job? No, by no means. I'm glad they rolled him up out of there. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I had to send that out, man. I just sent that out to the group, man, because you make some very, very interesting points about that, man. I've never heard that from anybody.
I'm a really smart dude.
I'm not doubting that, bro. But no.
I'm just messing with you.
But yeah, man. I mean, that's some interesting points, you know, especially coming from a brother of color, you know. You know, I didn't look at it that way, man. But I just looked at from what he said, and I think that maybe with that being said, E, that may be one of the reasons why they allowed him to resign as opposed to him being fired. And like you stated, he did get fired, but it came out to him being him resigning. And I think you had brought up another interesting point as well, another interesting question earlier this week. I think it was you who posed the question, is he still going to get paid? I believe that was you who asked that question in our thread.
Because he had a 10-year, $10 million contract. If he's going to get his money, because like I told Chris when we were talking about that the other day, if y'all going to pay me for 10 years, I'll leave right now.
Seriously, that's what I'm saying. I'll
leave right now as long as the check going to keep coming for 10 years.
Yeah, when you posed that question, I immediately went to the research. Like, I went to, the staff and crew, or, how you call it. I went there, man. And I couldn't find anything that said that, there was any stipulations or anything like that. I know he had a no trade clause. I know that, and that much is stated. But as far as him not being able to be fired, I know, and he couldn't be traded as well. He couldn't be traded, and also, what else was there? There was something else there as well. I can't recall exactly what it was, but I didn't see anything to answer your question, man. So that's very interesting, and you make some great points there, man. But at the same time, E, man, it's like, Wall Street Journal, the New York Times came out, or the Wall Street Journal, I think it was, came out with this story. They've been investigating him for 7 years, I think it was, has been. And, you look at it and think, and he's like a Don Rickles, man. He's I don't know if you know who Don Rickles, and if our listeners don't know, the comedian, he just, he always, he talked about everybody. He didn't care who you were. He talked about everybody. He was equal opportunity. I don't want to call him a hater, but
offender.
Equal opportunity.
Offender.
Yeah, offender. There you go. There you go. Great word. And that's what John Gruden seems to be. He just, he didn't care about anything. He didn't like us. He didn't like her. He didn't like them, meaning, your sexuality. If you wasn't a heterosexual, he didn't like you. If you weren't white, he didn't like you. If you weren't a male that was coaching football, that were reffing football, your official, he didn't like you. And I believe also, even this is one of the things that it kind of touched a lot of people as well, kind of rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. With all that being said, what about the health of the players, man? He felt like, that shouldn't have been addressed. That wasn't an issue as far as, guys being, being protected in the concussion protocol, things of that nature. He was against that as well. What say you about that?
See, that just goes back to what I said, K-Walk. He's that type of dude. You knew this without the emails? There's no way, out of all the stuff that came out in the emails, there's no way he kept that hidden for all this time and didn't nobody knew. They just didn't have any proof. And as far as, how you going to not care about the health of the players? Basically, he's saying, we say the things, but we don't really mean it. Hey, you N-word, get out here and play football with what we're paying you to do. That's all I need you for. You're until your usefulness wears out, I'm your friend. But once I have no need for you anymore, I don't give a damn about you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, great stuff. And Keyshawn has come out and said as well, and I don't know if you heard anything about what Keyshawn had to say.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, Keyshawn played for him, you know, played under him or played for him. They won a Super Bowl together. He tried to get him to come out of retirement once he went into ESPN. And Keyshawn said he didn't know it to this extent, but he knew that John Gruden was a fraud. Let me ask you this, E. Anybody that you ever work with, you know, obviously you don't have to throw out any names or like that, anything of that nature, but is there anybody you worked with that you feel the same way about, man? And if you do, do you feel like you're obligated to say something if you feel that this particular individual or individuals, plural, are not playing the game the way it should be or saying the right things? What say you about that?
Well, not in my current job, but I have had jobs before where one of the worst things for me personally, I don't know about you, but just for me personally, is to work for somebody that you're smarter than, that you're more qualified to do their job than they are. That is a better pill to swallow because you constantly, I can't go to them because I know more about this than they do. How did they get this job? And I've been in that position before. And like I said, not in my current position, but job has. Awful. And so I'm thinking about this one particular chick that I can see her face right now. And I don't want to call for a fraud, but she was faking it till she made it, but she never made it. I'm like, okay, last week you and I were doing the same position. You went out for a promotion. I didn't, which is my own fault, but you got a promotion. I didn't. So now I'm putting up the air quotes, work for you. No, this ain't going to work. No, I'm not saying I should have got the promotion because, again, I didn't go for it. But they damn sure shouldn't have gave it to you because now you run around here like you Superwoman, like you Wonder Woman. I know you dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, last week we were doing the same exact thing. So, yeah, Keyshawn Johnson said a fraud. I know you perpetrating a fraud. Who are you fooling? No one. And, you know, then you get – you got to respect the person and you got to respect the title. But I'm the type of dude, K-Walk, it's hard for me to bite my tongue sometimes because if you keep pushing, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. And, you know, that's going to cause consequences and repercussions for me that I don't need. Yeah. You know, next thing you know, they're telling me, hey, we need you to sign this. And if it happens again, we're going to roll you up out of here. It's your final warning. But, I mean, just don't. Don't put me in that position, but yeah. I can understand completely what Keyshawn is saying. Because Keyshawn said he was equivalent of a used car salesman.
Yeah.
And he's been the one who was a fraud. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about it, like he said, I didn't know it was this bad, but I knew he wasn't, you know, he wasn't up and up. He was getting told by, you know, assistant coaches, things of that nature. So, listen, this guy, you know, when they're in their own coaching, their coaching meetings, he's saying one thing, but when he's in a team meeting, he's saying another thing. And then coaches leaked out that out to Keyshawn. When Keyshawn said, listen, I know this guy's a fraud, like you just stated, he's a used car salesman, man. But he didn't know it was going to be to this extent, man. But, you know, he mentioned everything about, you know, like I stated about, about people's sexuality, their gender, their ethnicity, all that. So I want to ask you this question, man, just to take off, you know, come off of this topic just a little bit, man. And I want to ask you about female referees, man. And I posed this question last night on Sports Talk Atlanta with myself and Travis McGee right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio, shameless plug there. But Sunday, man, I was watching the game, watching the 49ers and the Cardinals game, man, and there was a female ref. She was a side judge, and she was throwing some questionable flags, E, but I wanted to scream so bad. I got up, but I didn't say anything. I didn't say, you know, I wanted to say it, E, because we're in a world right now. We're in a society. We're in a world that, you know, you have to be careful what you say and who you say it to and how you say it as well. I bit my tongue, like you said, like you stated as well. Is it okay for me to say that was a horrible bleep, 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 bleeping call if a female, you know, blew the whistle, I mean, threw a flag or called a foul? I mean, if it's a basketball, a female basketball ref or female football ref, what say you about that, man? How do you feel about that?
No, absolutely not. You're more than welcome to say it because you would say it if it was a male. Now, you are crossing or you are walking a thin line if you say she made the call because she's female. Now,
I would never do that.
They coming for you. But if she makes a bad call and you're not bringing her gender into this, you're just saying that was a terrible call. Yeah, you got every right to say that because dudes make bad calls, chicks make bad calls. I just think, me personally, being an official is a very tough thing to be because of biases. Because there's no way I could go out and objectively call a Saints game. I just couldn't do it. I'm not saying I'd be out there blatantly cheating, but if the call could go either way, it's going to go in the favor of the Saints. And I can't be the only person that feels that way. That this needs to be believed, every ref out there is not completely, you know, non-biased. And then we got, what's your boy name? Timothy McConaughey or whoever it was that one time, he had that
because he
had to Donahue. He had that Donahue, whatever. Yeah. He had to betting on games, so I'm sure there's a lot of that going on. But, yeah, when you see a female make a terrible call, you can get equally as mad if it was a dude. And like I said, unless you're saying she made the bad call because she was a woman, and then, you know, you. They're coming for you like you are Android user and they got an iPhone. Yeah.
We're raising blazing lemon juice, man.
Exactly.
But no, I wasn't taking the death for her. I just felt like, I wanted to say, how you yell at refs. I'm not going to do it for the radio purposes. But, yeah, I just felt like, I want to say this, but I just felt like I'm going to say it the wrong way or make it seem like, you know, it's about her being a female, and I back on that a lot. I pull back on a lot, because the older you get, I realize that you have to think before you talk. You have to think before you open your mouth, man. And that's what I did. I was like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to make it. Even though it was my wife in the room watching the game, I just don't want that to be look like I'm saying and I'm calling her a bad ref because she's a female. So I got your thoughts. I wanted to get your thoughts and opinions because I posed that question last night. And Princess Cooper, who is our producer and CEO of the show, she said the same thing you did. If she's able to, stomp with the big dog, then she'd be able to take that big dog that big dog criticism as well. So I'm glad I got your thoughts and opinions on that. But I'm glad I didn't say what I said, what I wanted to say. But it wasn't anything had to do with our gender. Just keep that in mind. So with that being said, Ela, let's switch gears just a little bit before we get into your segment, man. And Bama, man. Bama went down this past Saturday, man, to Texas A&M. Give me your thoughts on this, man. We have our thread. We have our Never Had It So Good Sports Radio thread. We give our thoughts and opinions throughout the game or games that are being played at the time. What say you about Bama going down to Texas A&M? Do you think it's something that you foreseen coming? Because it was a couple of games I thought that they should have went down in. But what say you about them losing?
Like you said earlier in the year, there's a lot of parity in college football this year. Texas A&M loses to Arkansas and then turn around and beat Alabama. Where they do that at? How that work? I mean, because you shouldn't be losing. Like I said before, there's some teams in the SEC you don't lose to. I can't name them because one of them just beat the brakes off LSU the other night. And so, they are who they are. But you lose to Arkansas, but then you gear up and you beat Bama. Now, one thing about the Bama game, if the Bama tight end catches that football, that pass and hit it right in the hands, it's a whole different outcome of the game, but he didn't, and it is what it is. So some people are going to go back and say Florida gave, the blueprint to beating Alabama. And, I mean, there may be something to that. I was very shocked, though, that A&M beat Alabama. And I do think Nick Saban will gear up and make some adjustments, and they'll be right back in it because I think they only dropped to, like, number five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
yeah,
they're
exactly.
still right
yeah.
there. They're really they're
depending on who poll you
in.
Yeah, depending
and,
on whose poll you're looking at.
And I don't know, and Cincinnati is like the number three team in the country, and I know absolutely nothing about them. The only thing I know about Cincinnati is Kenyon Martin, and he plays basketball. So I know nothing about them. So I'm quite sure even if Cincinnati goes undefeated and Alabama only has this one loss to Texas A&M, I think the pollsters
yeah.
will still leapfrog Cincinnati. Cause, I mean, hey, it's Cincinnati, and we're talking about Bama. That's just, you know, how they do because the system is very flawed. But to answer your question, no, I did not see this coming, and I was very shocked. But, hey, hats off to Texas A&M.
Man, for sure, Amy, for sure. And let's stay on the college talk just for a little bit. Then I want to preview tomorrow night's game if we have the time. Just wait for the callers to come in for your segment. But give me your thoughts on this week's game between the Florida Gators, my Florida Gators, and your LSU Tigers. How do you see this one playing out?
We're in the Swamp or in Death Valley?
We are in Death Valley. Death Valley, I believe. Yes, Death Valley.
Okay, so if we were in the Swamp, I was going to say Florida by three touchdowns. Since we since we in Death Valley, I say Florida by 17, two touchdowns and a field goal. LSU, Boutte, our number one receiver, we just lost him for the season due to an injury. I think Coach O has pretty much lost the team. Title IX breathing down our throat. Because, like, somebody threw out, you know, Urban Meyer said, oh, if he leaves Jacksonville, he can go to LSU next year. No, LSU got too many Title IX problems. They can't be bringing in – you can't bring the fox into the hen house. I mean, if the fox gets in the hen house, he just got in. But you can't bring him in. So, no, that's a no-go. But so Coach O's about to get fired. He may finish the season up, but he won't be back next year. Florida's a much better team than LSU. LSU got serious issues at quarterback. They just lost their number one receiver, and then their defense is not DBU like it normally is because they just got blew out by Kentucky. Kentucky. Kentucky got a basketball thing, man. Cal said, if you want to play in the NBA, come play at me for Kentucky. Well, he was talking to the basketball team, not the football team. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I say Florida by at least 17.
All right, good stuff, man.
And that's LSU at home. Like I said, if we were in Gainesville, yeah, Florida by three touchdowns.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one, man, for sure, man. And you know, just hopefully that, you know, the Gators are a favorite, obviously, but hopefully they don't play down to the competition. You know, I know Kentucky's undefeated, but I felt like they played down to them as well as they, you know, could have stolen one from Bama as well. So it's going to be interesting. It's a 12 o'clock game. Get the day started. Get that one out the way, man. So it's going to be interesting. Listen, man, we have Mr. Jason Collins on the line, my co-host on Sundays on the walkthrough, myself and Jason Collins. He's tuning in. Good to the show, my brother. How are you doing this evening?
What's going on, fellas? I'm good, K-Walk. What's up, Eddie?
What up, Jay? Chilling in the cut.
I hear you.
Yeah, good stuff, Jay. Before we dive into E's segment, we're gonna wait for a couple more people because we got a couple more people that are scheduled to call in for the segment. But I want to get your thoughts and opinion on obviously the elephant in the room as E and I discussed. What say you about the whole situation with John Gruden and how that went down?
Yeah, man, there's a lot of layers to it. I think if you just focus on Gruden, obviously what he said is just it's disgusting, man. Like, there's just no place for it, you know, in this day and time, in sports and society. I just feel like, you know, what Gruden said was just ridiculous. I mean, he offended just about any group of people you can think of.
Seriously.
And uh, I you know, he had to go. He definitely had to go.
Jay, let me chime in real quick and give you this, because I want you to continue, but I want you to look at it from a slightly different angle. The problem is that he put it in writing, or the problem is he's that kind of person? Because if you anybody close to Gruden, you had to know this about him already before these emails came out. Okay, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point, because obviously, I mean, Gruden's the guy that took the fall, but you do have to start saying, all right, well, what about all the other people that were on that email chain? And none of them had a problem with anything that he was saying. So obviously, they were all comfortable with that type of rhetoric, and they probably used that type of rhetoric themselves. I mean, think about it. When you're with your boys, when you're with your close friends, whatever the case may be, you may feel comfortable saying things, writing things, whatever, that you wouldn't say out loud or publicly. So the fact that he was so comfortable sending these emails to these high-level executives, it not only reveals his character, but it also reveals the character of everybody that was on that email chain. I'm not surprised, though, E. Honestly, like when you really stop and think about it, I'm never surprised when these things happen, because I think – more often than not, a lot of people have these views, but most people, you know, are a little bit, I guess we could say, smart enough not to put it in an email. But I'm never surprised when something like this comes out. It doesn't shock me.
Yeah, for sure, Jay. I mean, great stuff there. Want to switch gears here a little bit, guys, and I want to, you know, I know we're waiting on a couple of people here, so we'll just let them come in. But, I'll start with you on this one. Kyrie, man, the Brooklyn Nets have come out and said that he's not going to play or practice, you know, with the team until he is vaccinated. And, you know, he seems to like to be okay with this, man. And he's facing up to $16 million in fines if he continues not to to get vaccinated. What say you about Kyrie? What can the Nets do? You know, to get some type of compensation from him, or for him, I should say. What say you about this?
Well, I want to speak on this without speaking on Kyrie, because I have opinions about Kyrie that, you know, are just my opinions, because I don't know the dude personally. But I'm just going to say, for anyone, I do really think the vaccination is a choice. I don't think you should be mandated to get it. Now, do I think you should get it? Yes, but I don't think your job should be able to make you get it. But now, if you work at a place where your job mandates you get it, I think you're perfect when you're right to decide you don't want to work there anymore. So, and I think that's what Kyrie has done. I mean, just like, you know, any other job out there, if your job comes to us and says, hey, in order to work here, you got to get the vaccine, you can say, well, okay, I don't work here anymore. I'm not going to get the vaccine, because I do think the vaccine is a personal choice. Me personally, mm-hmm. I chose to get it, and I think people should get it. So, like I said, mm-hmm. But I don't think you should – your job can have a vaccine policy, and then you get to, you know, just protest and talk about it. You know, you can't be Sage Steele and do what she did. If y'all don't know who Sage Steele is and what she did, look it up. But
indeed.
I'm just – you know, for our listeners, but I'm just saying, they told Kyrie, hey, dog, you can't play a practice until – and they didn't say vaccinated. They said until you're eligible. We all know what that means.
We know what that means,
Kyrie
right. Exactly.
Yeah, so Kyrie said, all right, dude, I don't work down here anymore. I think that should be the end of it. I think there's no other conversation to be had. We said, if you ain't eligible, you can't play a practice. Kyrie said, I ain't going to get eligible. I'm cool with not playing a practice. End of discussion. Why are we discussing this any further? If he's comfortable paying the $16 million or losing whatever money he's going to lose, that's him. I mean, like I said all along with the vaccine, I think you should make a personal decision, and decision that's best for you and your family. It seems that Kyrie has done that, because we don't see Kyrie on the news talking about, hey, this is wrong, I should be able to play, even if I'm not back, none of that. They said, hey, you ain't eligible, you can't play. He said, cool. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, exactly, man. Well said, brother. Jay, what say you?
Yeah, no, I agree with what East said. I think it works both ways. Like, the employer has the right to say, hey, this is what we want for our business. If you can't comply, we don't want you to come around. And the player has the right to say, well, you know, these are not terms that I agree with. I'm not going to come around. So, yeah, I mean, like he said, I think everybody should take the vaccine. I got vaccinated. I was concerned mm-hmm. about it at first, but after right. researching and, you know, I took it. I think everybody should take it. But if Kyrie feels the way that he feels about it, that's fine. Just know that there's going to be, you know, call it consequences, whatever you want, that come along with it. But spinning it forward, Walt, the only thing I think, man, is athletes, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, they like to play their sport. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's
yeah,
just not
exactly.
a job. There's some enjoyment in it as well. And I just have
right.
a hard time believing that Kyrie, at the age that he has, and he's really in his prime in terms of his basketball skills, I have a hard time believing that he's just going to walk away from all of that. You know, he may be away for a month or two or three, but at some point I think he's going to miss the game, and then he's going to have some tough decisions to make. So I don't necessarily think this is over. I think this is more of a to be continued, and we're going to find out more in the coming months.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. I definitely agree with everything both of you said, man. I just think that Kyrie is just – I don't know, man. I'm not even trying to get into Kyrie's head because he thinks – Yeah, he just – I don't know what he thinks about. But anyway, man, he just always wants to be in the forefront of everything, in my personal opinion. I agree with both of you. I'm vaccinated as well, man. It was a no-brainer for me, to be perfectly honest with you. I think at this point, you know, you see how many people have been vaccinated, man. And it's just like, you know, you don't hear any stories. You still hear people, you know, you're getting vaccinated and you're still – you know, contracting COVID, but the recovery time, from what I'm hearing, is a lot less, to be honest with you, you know. So, but everyone, you know, has their opinion. But right now in New York, it's mandated, you know, it's mandated that if you want to work in a workplace, especially in Barclays Center, which is located in Brooklyn, you know, you have to be vaccinated, man. And it's something that I always leave it with every show, man. And I always say you have to do what you have to do in order for you to do what you want to do. And this is a prime example of that. But that's all I'm going to say real quick. E and Jay, I want to talk about. Nah, I don't want to talk about. Just give me a prediction for tomorrow night's game, Bucks Eagles, real quick. E, who you got?
Bucks, Tampa Tom.
All right. Jay, what say you?
I'm with E 100%. I'm not betting against Brady. I got the Bucks winning by at least a couple touchdowns.
All right, and I'm going to make a unanimous sentence and say the same thing: Bucks by three touchdowns. Well, I'll say 24, but that's a little more. But nonetheless, good stuff. So what we're going to do? That's all the time that we have for my segment. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn it over to Mr. E Scott, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, E Scott, it's all you. It looks like it's just me and you, Jay. Head to head, mano y mano, number one versus number eight. Let's get it on. To get you a listen to Sports Talk with K Walk alongside Mr. E Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Okay, guys, here we go. We're going to just jump right on into it. And, Jay, it's just you and K-Walk head up. If you beat them, you win
$20.
We got a
$20.
That was my next question. The money on the line tonight.
The money's still on the line, brother.
I sponsor this K-Walk. Ohio, hey, my segment is not sponsored. So if you can take them down, Jay, and I think this one will fit into your wheelhouse. I don't think there's any baseball on here. What we doing, Jay? You didn't call in last week, but we running back last week. What I do is I give you a player, and you give me the university or college that the player went to. And I tried to find some obscure players that are not that popular. Are popular that you know, but you might not know where they went to school. But everyone is someone that you will immediately recognize by name. So with being said, Jay, we're going to actually start with you. Give me a number. I'm going to give you a player, and you tell me where he or she went to school.
All right, give me number 8.
Okay, number 8. Number 8 is Anthony Bennett. And they're all from
Anthony. Wow, Anthony Bennett. Shoot, I don't know. I'm not even going to waste your time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, well, do you know?
I do not know. Final answer.
University of Nevada at Las Vegas, UNLV.
Oh, wow.
All right, K-Wall, give me a number.
Jay going with 8. I'm going with 1.
Number 1, Ryan Leaf.
Oh, Ryan Leaf went to Washington, Washington State. Final answer.
That is correct. Award yourself 1 point. All right, Jay, give me a number.
All right, give me number 2.
Number 2, Jamarcus Russell.
LSU.
Yeah, good one.
Final answer?
Final answer.
That is correct. Yeah. Give Jay 1 point. K-Walk, back to you. Give me a number.
All right. Jay took his brother on this one, so I'm going to go with my – let me see. Let me get my quarterback here. I'm channeling my inner Jermaine Myers. Number 7.
Number 7, David Klingler.
David Klingler went to Houston. Final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself 1 point. Jay, give me a number.
I'll take number 3.
Number 3, Akili Smith.
Ooh.
Oregon. Final answer.
Yeah.
That is correct. He went to Oregon. So I'm looking at the staff right now like, hey, these things as hard as y'all thought.
Yeah.
Jay, no, back to you, K-Walk. Give me an answer.
Give me number 4.
Number 4, Andrew Wiggins.
Ooh, where'd he go? Blues. What's the Blues? Did he go to Kentucky? No, Kansas. Final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself a point. Jay, give me a number.
I'll take number 5.
Number 5, Justin Blackmon.
Oh, I know this.
Justin Blackmon. Oklahoma. Yeah, I'm going to go Oklahoma State. Final answer.
That is correct. That is correct. Justin Blackmon, Oklahoma State. K-Walk, give me a number.
Good stuff, Jay. Give me number 11.
Number 11, Jahlil Okafor.
Oh, he went to a blue one, too. Did he go to Kentucky? No, he went to Duke. I don't know. Okafor. I'm going to say Duke, final answer.
That is actually correct. Jahlil Okafor was a Duke Blue Devil. Jay, give me a number.
I'll take number 6.
Number six is Tim Couch. Where did Tim Couch call home?
University of Kentucky. Final answer.
That is correct. See, Jay, I told you this one's in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, this is
you. K-Walk, give me a number.
My bad. Jay, what number did you pick? I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
Number
6.
6, okay. All right, give me number 13.
Number 13, Jeff Hornacek.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, right?
Oh,
I do not know this. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I do not know this. I'm just making a guess here, so I'm going to say he went somewhere out west. Washington, final answer. No idea.
That is incorrect. Jay, do you know?
I don't know. Final answer.
Iowa State. Horny went to Iowa State.
Okay.
Jay, back to you. Give me a number.
All right, give me number 9.
Number nine. Adam Morrison.
Ooh, I know that one.
All right, I know this one. Adam Morrison went to Gonzaga, final answer.
That is correct. That damn Jay on it. K-Walk, give me a number.
Let me see. He's checking the list here. Give me number.
Jay coming for these $20.
I know, right? For real, for sure. Give me number, speaking of $20, let's give me number 20.
Number 20, Kerry Collins.
Kerry Collins, if I don't get this one right, Jay's going to never go to me again. Penn State University, final answer.
That is correct. Jay, give me a number.
All right, give me number 10.
Number 10, Purvis Ellison.
Ooh,
Purvis Ellison.
Nervous.
I want to say Louisville is the first college that came to my mind. So I'm going to say Louisville, final answer.
That is correct. Nervous Purvis did go to Louisville.
That's in our wheelhouse, Jay. Good job, Jay.
Okay, well, give me a number.
All right, this is a nail by a barn burner. Give me number, what am I feeling? Number 21.
Number 21, Jeremy Lin.
Ooh,
where did Jeremy Lin go to school?
I have no idea. Where did Jeremy? I have no. I'm not even going to pretend like I know.
You better get it.
Right.
If you don't,
I don't know it, bro. If you know it, then it's yours, man. But I'm going to guess. I'm going to say he went to Cal. Final answer.
That is incorrect. Jay, tell him where he went.
He's a smart man. He went to Harvard. Final answer.
That is correct. Yeah.
He was there with Pablo Torre. that is correct. Look at Jay taking the lead. Jay, go ahead. Give me a number.
All right. Give me number 12.
Number 12. Robert Traylor.
I think he's LSU. Final answer.
That is incorrect.
I don't know this one either. I'm going to say, I don't know, man. Robert Tractor Trailer, short, fat dude. I don't know. Final answer.
He went to Michigan.
Yes, I knew it was a yellow school.
K-Walk, back to you.
Give me number 25.
Number 25, Nate Robinson.
Of course. All right. I'm about to get knocked out on this one. Pun intended. Nate Robinson, where did he go?
I was a little slow up. They go down, but I got it.
I don't know, bro. I'm going to say Nate Robinson went to the University of Illinois. I don't know. Final answer.
No, that is incorrect. Jay, do you know?
Yeah.
I sure do. He's a Husky. He went to Washington.
That is correct. And you know, K-Walk, he was a football player at Washington.
I did not know that.
But that is correct. Get Jay the point. Jay, you can run away with it again. Give me a number.
All right. Give me number 15.
Number 15, Brittany Griner. Where did he go to school? I mean, they go to school.
I know that one.
Brittany went to Baylor. Final answer. Mm.
They did. They went to Baylor. That is correct. I just wanted to, I want to use non-binary, dog. I'm trying to be politically correct. I'm not trying to get us canceled. So yes, that is correct. Baylor. K-Walk, give me a number.
Give me number. Let me see what we have here on the board. Number 23.
Number 23, Spud Webb. Where did a little bit of Spud Webb go to school?
Are you kidding me? I know Spud Webb. Where did he go? Where's somewhere? I don't know. University of Indiana. I'm just going to say Indiana. Final answer. I know he didn't go there.
That is incorrect. Jay, do you know where Spud went to school?
I don't know. Final answer. No idea.
Spud Webb went to NC State.
Okay. No, I knew he went to a red school. I knew he went to a red school. That's all I knew.
Let's see, Jay, back to you.
All right, give me 14.
Number 14. Derek Fisher. When he wasn't running for Matt Barnes, where was he calling school?
Ooh.
Wow.
I don't know. I feel like somewhere out west, probably. I'm just going to say UCLA, but that's just a guess. Final answer.
No, that's all kind of wrong, Jay.
I'm glad you said that about him and not me. I have no.
I know because you get sensitive.
I take that personal, man. I don't know why. I don't know why.
You probably got an iPhone. Well, go ahead.
You know I don't. You know my phone. I don't know. I think he went to. Arkansas. I don't know. Final answer.
Wait, where?
Arkansas. I'm sorry. If I broke up.
Okay, you're in the ballpark, but I need you to narrow it down.
So you're giving me an idea.
I'm just saying.
Arkansas Little Rock. I was guessing, but since you said that, Arkansas Little Rock, final answer.
That is correct. I mean, because I couldn't just say you were wrong because you said Arkansas. But, yeah, University of Arkansas and Little Rock. Jay,
put that answer under protest.
No, Jay, that was strictly a guess, bro. But I was going to say Arkansas Razorbacks until he said that. And I said, okay, well, maybe I'm wrong.
Because you said Arkansas, and I couldn't just say wrong. I mean, you could have said Razorback, and that would have been wrong. But
what Jay has taught me, the way you come with some of your stuff, the way you word stuff, the way you say stuff, makes you think a little extra. So that's why I went there.
Yeah, but I do that sometimes and throw y'all off, and y'all be all kind of wrong. Because, I mean, Jay hit me to that because Jay said I was showing my hand. So, the staff had a good talking to with me. Jay, let's see what we got. Oh, number 16, Mario Chalmers.
Oh, I know this one.
You know what? Arizona popped in my head, so I'm going there. Arizona, final answer.
Well, unfortunately, it should have popped out because that is incorrect. K-Walk, do you know?
Yes, Kansas University, final answer.
That is correct. Right. Mario Chalmers went to Kansas. K-Walk, back to you.
All right, I got a 17, shot. 17, 19,
22, 24.
All right, I got two timeouts and a two-minute warning, so I got some time left. But give me number 17.
Number 17, Chris Godwin.
Son of a gun. You just killed. Ah, Godwin. He went. What did Godwin? I don't know. Godwin. Is he a – I want to say LSU. No, he's not an LSU guy. No. They just said it the other day, too. I was watching the game, Kevin. I'm just going to say LSU, final answer.
That is incorrect. Jay, tell him where he went.
He's a Nittany Lion, man. Penn State, final answer.
I knew Jay was going to get that one if you didn't, K-Wall. That is correct. He's a Nittany Lion.
Dang,
Jay, give
what
me
can
a number.
I say?
All right, give me number 18.
Number 18, the big cat, Ernie Ladd. I don't know how familiar y'all are with wrestling. But remember Ernie Ladd, the big cat? I think he played some time in the NFL, too.
I don't. But you know what? He sounds like he's from the South. I'm going to say Alabama, final answer.
That is incorrect. K-Walk, do you know?
Earlier, I'm going to say Grambling State, final answer.
That is correct. The big cat is
that
time. Tiger.
E, I read you that time, E. I read you that time.
Back to, let's see, K-Walt, we got 19, 22, and 24.
Give me 24.
Number 24, Clay Thompson. Where did Clay Thompson play ball?
Oklahoma, final answer.
Oklahoma, final answer. Jay, do you know?
Oh, wow.
Store Dew went to Washington State, final answer.
Oh, okay.
That is correct. Clay Thompson went to Washington State. Jay, we got 19 and 22.
All right, give me 19.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and get Jay the point.
Okay.
Number 19, LeVar Arrington.
Temple University, Fine Williams.
University, final answer.
Another Nittany Lion. Yes, sir. I knew you would know that one. Caleb, the last one is yours. The Plastic Man, Stacy Ogman. Where did he play his college ball?
First of all, he went to University of Nevada of Las Vegas, UNLV. But I got a question. Like, what? I think it's kind of set up. All these state answers, man. What's up with that? Not one typical answer. I'm just sipping.
We had Temple last week. We had you. And I didn't
one.
Know Jay was going to.
You had one.
But I didn't know.
Jay had,
I didn't know Jay was
had
call.
Three. But you
hey,
had
look,
Penn
man,
State nonetheless, man.
Normally when Jay play, we got five baseball questions. Jay pick all five of them, and he be as wrong as wrong can get.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's my night, man. Tonight's my
night,
K-Walk. We asked Jay, who led the season in ERA? Jay, I hear talking about Barry Bonds. I mean, you know, he be all kind of wrong on the baseball questions. So I said, when we wrote this one this week, I said, if Jay do call, we'll throw a couple of Penn State guys in there. But here's the thing, Caleb. You had just as much chance of picking them as he did. I mean, you did pick one. You just didn't know. Hey, man, we're taking on the protest after you pay Jay his $20. So with that being said,
Jay, send
me
your cash, your cash app. Your Vivo, the final total. The final total, let's see. I had 9, Jay had 10, 12. So you got me.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the difference was the Penn State answers. But nonetheless, Jay, congratulations, brother. With that being said.
DJ Khaled! Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they stay there, and they stay there.
You can tell everybody, yeah, you can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, yes I am, yes I am.
I just throw that little extra in for you, Jay.
Yes, all right, guys. I see we got about 4 minutes left. K-Walk, I'll turn it back over to you to take us on home. Good stuff, Jay.
Yes,
I'm proud of you. Next week it'll be baseball loaded, Jay. I mean, it'll probably be 25 baseball questions next week.
Hey, I think EJ came in the intentions of, you know, me giving out that $20 since I won last week, you know?
But we didn't know Jay was calling.
I don't know what your intentions were. I don't know what you and the staff and the crew. I don't know what y'all talk about in your meetings, man.
Sometimes I check Jay and Jay be like, nah, you know, I'm playing marbles with the kids. And we in an intense Monopoly game. I can't make it. So, I mean, I didn't know for sure you were coming. But, I mean, I will admit, I threw the Penn State stuff in there for Jay.
Yeah.
I did. Because I feel bad when we had a baseball question and he'd be like a deer in headlights and he'd just be lost. But again, though, okay, well, if I'd have gave you LeVar Arrington, you knew, right? If I would have gave you Kerry Collins, you knew, right?
I did get that one right, but I didn't know about Godwin, okay. Though. I didn't realize Godwin went to Penn State, man. I didn't know that one. But no, it's all in fun, man. It's all in fun.
We'll get some Temple people in there next time. I got to look them up because, you know, my Temple knowledge last week was you. And you and John Chandler. that's all I have for you.
Hey, I ain't mad at that, bro. I ain't mad at that. It's fact. That is fact. Good stuff. Congratulations, Jay. Hey, text me, Jay. Text me your cash app or whatever you use, and I'll get that to you, man. I'm a man of my word. So with that being said, man, we got a couple minutes here, man. So, Jay, let me ask you about Kyrie. About Ben Simmons, man. Give me your thoughts about Ben Simmons. He reported, surprisingly, he reported to camp in Philly. A lot of people were surprised to see that. What say you about him, and do you think he'll be a Sixer for the season, or do you see him being traded?
I don't think he's going to be a Sixer for the season, man. I just feel like too much has been said, too much has been done on both sides. A lot of feelings are hurt. I feel like Ben showed up, and maybe his agent negotiated, like, you know what, we'll make a good faith offer. We're going to come to camp. You guys get on the phone and see if you can figure out a trade. So I don't.
You
really
know he's a clutch
Ben
voice.
To be there that long. Yeah, right.
You know,
right,
you know
exactly.
He's a clutch. So yeah.
Yep. So I don't see him there long term, K-Walk. I think with him being in camp, maybe they feel like that might help get trade talks going again. I don't know, but no, I don't think it's going to be long term.
All right, good stuff. E, what say you?
So I brought up the fact that he's with Clutch Sports because I'm sure you got a call from LeBron. LeBron called and said, man, if you don't get your in camp, hey, man, how you think we're going to trade for you if you ain't at least in camp? So, yeah, you get on over there to camp. Rich Paul's going to work everything out, and you'll be a Laker before the season is over. And he was like, well, what about the cap? What about the money? Hey, man, don't worry about that. Nike pays me $1 billion. We'll get you some money. So don't even worry about that. So you go on, get to camp, do what you need to do, and you'll be a Laker before the season's over.
Yeah, man, I have to agree with both of you, man. I just think that he will definitely be a Sixer, man. A Laker, interesting, man. I don't know if they have the cap room.
No,
or,
I was being facetious.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but
yeah,
no, but that was. It's
he
funny,
won't
but
be
you,
in Philly.
You never
though.
Know. Yeah, yeah,
he won't
I,
be
I know.
Philly,
I. Yeah, it's interesting to see where they're going to ship him to. And, you know, you always make a joke about Sacramento being a landing spot for guys that, you know, that teams don't, you know, want to see succeed. It's kind of like a witness protection program type area. So, yeah, you know, I can see him being somewhere else for sure, man. So with that being said, man, listen, that's all the time that we have. Jay, thank you so much for joining us this evening, my brother. E, another great one as always. And, appreciate you so much, man. And again, I always want to leave you with this, guys, man. And I think this is kind of fitting for what we talked about today is that we have to do what we have to do in order for us to do what we want to do. So with that being said, myself, K-Walk, alongside Mr. E. Scott on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Talk to you guys next week, God willing.
Go Nittany Lions.
I got my peaches out in Georgia, oh yeah shit. I get my weed from California, that's that shit. I took my chick up to the north, yeah, badass bitch. I get my light right from the source, yeah, yeah, that's it. And I see you, oh, the way I breathe you in. It's the texture of your skin. I wanna wrap my arms around you, baby, never let you go, oh.